Welcome to the Real Estate Professionals Smoking Cigars Podcast. We provide an entertaining and educational review of various areas of the real estate and lending industries, mixed in with cigar reviews. Each episode will be an informative, down-to-earth conversation with an industry insider discussing aspects of the real estate industry and the home buying process so that you can be a more informed buyer, realtor, or lending professional.
Hi there, this is Jim Campanella, sales manager of Your Mortgage Guys at Cross Country Mortgage and the host of Real Estate Professionals Smoking Cigars. Thank you for joining us this week. Originally, my plans were having a little different conversation for this episode. However, very recently, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have come out with their new guidelines for the post-COVID-19 underwriting of the self-employed. Yes, a very exciting topic, I know. But this has some serious ramifications for those in the real estate industry, you know, our realtors and attorneys and everybody else who are working with self-employed individuals and, you know, obviously hoping to purchase a home. So I thought what we would do is spend a little time going over the guidelines and really getting to some examples where the guidelines are going to apply. Certainly, you know, as a realtor or an attorney, you don't need to be an underwriting expert by any means. But I think it's important that you understand, you know, in general, the guidelines that are being out there, because then it'll help you, you know, work with the clients, whether you'd be working with somebody self-employed today or 60 days from now or 90 days from now or so on. So I thought we'd just take a few minutes and go over the new Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines. I will give you a disclosure that, of course, I am not an underwriter. I've read the guidelines. This is my interpretation of the guidelines. Every lender may have slightly different guidelines. These are Fannie Mae's and Freddie Mac's guidelines. Each lender may have their own overlays on top of that, making the guidelines a little tighter. So keep that in mind that, you know, just because I said, you know, you can do X or a client can do X, you know, another lender may say that's not what they're allowing to people to do. We've seen that already as an example with FHA. FHA really has a minimum credit score of 580 for the 3.5% down payment. Some lenders have shifted up to 620, 640. FHA is still 580, but the lender themselves have tightened their guidelines a little bit. Just so they have a, you know, a little more solid customer. It doesn't mean anything more than, you know, management at that particular lender has determined they're a little more comfortable with a little tighter guidelines. The same is probably going to come true with these guidelines. You may see some variances with the lenders. So I wanted to mention that. Also, I wanted to mention that I've not yet seen FHA's revised guidelines. I'm assuming FHA is going to follow suit with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but that's my assumption and not necessarily accurate. But so far, I've not seen anything new from FHA or HUD stating that their guidelines, you know, are any different. Fannie and Freddie have definitely tweaked their guidelines, and that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time going over. Okay, so with the new guidelines that have come out, what they basically say, again, this is Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, so this is conventional financing. Again, I expect FHA is going to follow suit, but has not as of yet, or at least I've not seen it. What they're looking for is, of course, the previous 2 years' tax returns. That's standard. We've always done that. Year-to-date profit and loss statement, standard. We've always done that. What's additional now is we need 2 months' bank statements. Well, let's put it this way. We need as little as 2 months' bank statements. We may need more, depending on the lender and the file and everything else. 2 months' bank statements backing up and supporting the income shown on the P&L. What I mean by that is if you're depositing, let's say, you know, first 5 months of the year, you're showing your gross receipts are $50,000, $10,000 a month. Our underwriters, or all underwriters for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, is going to be looking for the last 2 months' statements to show that you're depositing at least, you know, something in the area of $10,000 a month into your business or personal account. If, in fact, you've you know, were not working the last 2 months, the last 69 days being a stay-at-home order, you're not going to have any deposits to support that. And that may cause your income, your self-employed income, not to be counted. So that's part one, is we actually have to support the income that you're showing on your P&L. Now, that's an unaudited P&L. If you do have an audited P&L by a CPA, that would be acceptable as well, because the CPA, in effect, did that work already for us because they're certifying that that's the accurate information. Part two, which is, I think, going to be the bigger hang-up for many self-employed, is we have to show post-COVID or post-stay-at-home that income has stabilized. So a couple very quick examples. You're self-employed. COVID did not necessarily, or the stay-at-home order did not necessarily affect your business. You have consistent income all the way through April and May. Everything's fine. You're a nail tech, changing examples here, and you had no income coming in April or May. You're still your year-to-date as well, and you know, and business is returning. We would have to be able to show consistency of income, and consistency meaning, you know, what your new level of income is, and then go forward. If that's the case, and we're using 60 days of bank statements, 2 months bank statements, that means your customer's acquiring a home in excess of 60 days from today, not today. So a lot of it's going to depend on what's shown on those bank statements as far as consistency of income and stability of income. Those are the two keys, is verification of the income through bank statements and, you know, what the income is through the stay-at-home. Or if the income was zero during the stay-at-home, then we're going to need some time to gather more additional bank statements. Doesn't mean they can't buy a house, just means that that income can't be counted currently. 60 days from now, so, you know, 75 days from now after the statements come out, that changes everything. The third factor that the underwriters are going to look at is the year-to-date consistent with the average of 18 and 19? If it is, everything's fine. Or is it less than? In many cases, it'll be less than because, of course, we had 2 months off. That's okay, too, but then we would have to be using the year-to-date average versus the two-year average from previous. So if they averaged, you know, making $30,000 a year and they're on pace this year because of the situation with the stay-at-home order, that they're only going to make 20 this year instead of 30, we're going to be using the 20 as the base for the income. So that's the big changes. For many people, that may not have any effect whatsoever. But again, after I take a little break, I'll use some examples to show where this can make a difference. And as realtors, as you know, accountants, attorneys, you know, professionals in the industry need to be aware of this, because as you're working with your clients, you know, they need to know if they can buy a house today, or you know, if they're going to have to put themselves under contract for 75 days instead of 30. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue from there. Okay, I thought I'd take a moment from our conversation and hit on one of my favorite cigar lounges. I have not found many in the state of Iowa. I'm sure there's some very good ones out there, and if you're aware of one, certainly, you know, share it with us. But I did find one in Clive, Iowa, David's Fine Tobaccos. From what I understand, they've been around a very long time, I think since like the 1950s at a different location, and then now in Clive, Iowa. Very nice place. The lounge itself is certainly very nice, but it's not leatherback chairs. It's more like tabletops and stuff like that. Just a little different from what, you know, we're accustomed to at some of the other lounges out there. The pricing is very competitive. It's got a nice selection of cigars. I do recommend it, especially since there's very few cigar lounges that I found in Iowa, then, you know, certainly David's is a great choice. He is located at 9757 University Avenue in Clive, Iowa. Their phone number is 515-278-8701. And again, if you're in the Des Moines area, I would certainly suggest giving him a try. Okay, so now that we're back, I thought I'd just give you a few examples to show you how this may affect a client you have. If you have a client such as I don't mean to pick on any professions, but let's say a nail technician, or maybe somebody who was a hairstylist or a barber, licensed and everything else. So therefore, for 69 days during the stay-at-home order, they did not work. Well, if you they prepare their P&L, which would be January through May. Obviously, April and May, they'd have no income. So it's 5 months of income, or 5 months with 3 months of income. And let's just say for the moment that it's consistent with 2018 and 19. So they meet the first benchmark. The income is consistent. It did not decline, let's say. However, we also have to prove that it's stabilized. And how they're going to prove it's stabilized, again, is by looking at the last 2 months' bank statements. The last 2 months' bank statements being April and May with zero deposits. So it has not been stabilized. So in that scenario, it's my strong belief that any underwriter, whether it be cross-country or somebody else, is going to come back and say that the income is not allowable, because there's no proof that it's been, that it's not stabilized. That doesn't mean they can't buy a home in the future, but it does mean that they probably are going to have to wait until they get their July statement, so they have their June and July income. So I'll purchase sometime in late August or mid-August, because of the fact that you've got to show income stabilization. Now, let's use the example of somebody who, throughout COVID-19 and through the stay-at-home order, whether it be through their website or whatever the case may be, had consistent income for those 2 months. Well, they may be able to buy today because they can show that their year-to-date earnings are, consistent with 18 and 19, and they can show a stabilized income. It may be less than where they had been in January and February, potentially, but as long as the ratios and everything still work, their income stabilized and they're moving forward. So this is not necessarily saying that all self-employed people can't buy a home until mid-August, but it is saying that if we can't verify income, and that how they're verifying income is through, through business account deposits or personal deposits. If you can't verify income, then we're going to have to wait until such time for us to count it. Now, if they have other sources of income and they qualify without it, without the self-employed income, that's fine. But if we have to count the self-employed income, it's going to have to be not only verified that they would qualify on the ratios, but also that it's consistent and stabilized. And I think the consistent and stabilized is going to be the issue where most of these people are going to, self-employed people are going to run into, because if their businesses were closed, that's an issue. Let's look at a possibility of a restaurateur. Certainly, they offered curbside service, but obviously their income is down in April, in May. And now, they can offer outside dining, but I believe the rule is at 50% capacity. So their new income that we would be able to utilize potentially could be 50% less than when they're at full capacity. Now, maybe they never ran full capacity and 50% occupancy is okay. But using the current information, it would affect their qualifying potentially. So the big ones that are concerning to me, because, I am a loan officer. I happen to have clients in the pipeline. I do have some clients in the pipeline that, we had to put on hold because of the stay-at-home order. They were not able to perform their jobs as self-employed people. They were thinking that they may be purchasing a home in June, late June, because they were under contract prior to. And now with this new information, unless they qualify at the substantially reduced numbers because they lost all the income in April and May, they probably won't be able to purchase until their business rebounds after 60 days, you know, 2 months bank statements. Some people have already asked me, does unemployment count as income? Because that certainly would be deposits into their account. It does not. That's temporary income and therefore not something that we can use to count as income. The only time unemployment counts really for income is, let's say you're a landscaper and every year you collect unemployment in December, January, and February because of the weather conditions. If we can show you consistently collected those 3 months, we can count it as part of your income because, you know, it's consistent. But in this case, it wouldn't qualify as consistent. If you're a business owner and you got PPP funds, that does not count either because that, again, is not, you know, it's a deposit into your account, but we cannot count that as income. It's actually, you know, a forgivable loan or a grant. It's not business-generated income. So this is why, you know, I wanted to have this podcast today. It's just, again, not that I have no intentions, and I'm sure you don't either, of becoming experts on self-employed people. But I think it's important as realtors, attorneys, business, you know, professionals, and so on, okay, even cigar smokers, to know what the new guidelines are as they sit right now. Now, they could change again, but as they sit right now, if you're working with a lender, hopefully me, obviously, but even somebody else, and they come back and say, hey, we have an issue, this is the reason for the issue, is Fannie and Freddie have come back and have these two factors involved. You know, you've got to compare it to 18 and 19's income, and you got to show that the income is stabilized. Okay, and by the sound of the bell ringing in Bern, Switzerland, means our time is up for today. Certainly, if you have any questions at all regarding any of the topics we discussed today, you know, drop me an email, give me a call, post something on Facebook. You can find us at Real Estate Professional Smoking Cigars on Facebook. Certainly, I appreciate you listening in. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. And until next time, I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Professionals Smoking Cigars podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe on your podcast app and like us on Facebook. Leave us a message on the Anchor podcast app. We look forward to you tuning in for our next episode.